Sleeper 2020, a series of conversations with explorers, artists, and thinkers in the world of hospitality experience and design. This podcast is brought to you by Sleeper Media in collaboration with A Hotel Life. It features Ben Pundle, editor-in-chief of A Hotel Life, in conversation with Josh Wyatt, CEO of Neuer House, and was originally recorded on Friday, the 3rd of April.
To wrap up the week in wonderful form, we welcome Josh Wyatt, the CEO of Neuer House. Josh, thank you so much for joining us.
It's such a pleasure. It's a real honor.
Where are you today?
So I'm in London in actually quite sunny Chelsea.
So let's get cracking, Josh, because Neuer House opened in 2013 to a flurry of excitement, and people weren't sure why. Was it a co-working space, a members club, a restaurant, a bar, an event space? So why don't you tell us your words, what is Neuer House?
Well, I think it's all of those things, but wrapped most importantly in a sense of community and a sense of soul. And I think back in 2013 when it first opened, people had this desire to try to come into one space and have many different things happening all at once. So as you mentioned, there was work moments, there were moments of art, moments of fashion, moments of music, all wrapped within this construct of this beautifully designed space, but most importantly, with amazing, interesting, provocative people. And I think that spirit from when Neuer House opened in 2013 lives and thrives today in April of 2020. I mean, despite what's going on, a lot of our members and our community have moved online while we deal with this, and just seeing the outpouring of love and support and ideas. There's just these crazy ideas that are happening. So that collision, that creative collision that was happening back in 2013 has evolved over the last 7-8 years at Neuer House into this moment where the people that have come together previously physically just 4 weeks ago and now online, they have this innate desire to share and this innate desire to be a part of something that is interesting, that is warm, and that is something that just creates ideas and creates momentum within people's lives.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the Neuer House creative community is unlike anything I've seen anywhere. It's really very, very special. We're obviously living in some very unprecedented times. The travel industry, hospitality, hotels, bars, restaurants, clubs, movie theaters, social members clubs, we're all on hold. And we don't know how long for, and we don't know what the future looks like. But we do know there is going to be a future. So what lessons do you think we can learn from this, and how do you think things are going to change?
Well, first, you know, before I answer that question, I would like to give a personal vote of support and a message to all of those industries that you just mentioned, all those industries which you and I have probably collectively combined close to, I hate to admit it, 50 years of experience between the two of us. These are all of our friends. And I think before we talk about, what does the industry look like and where are we going, what's happening, you know, I think just on a very personal level, the level of impact of all of our friends, the people that we've worked with, the people that we've done business with, the people that we've partied with, the people that we've shared ideas with, the people that we've had relationships with, all of these things are now within 4 weeks or on pause. And we cannot discount the level of incredible distress that causes within all of our lives. Forget about the money for a moment. It's just the emotional distress of seeing our friends and our people, our tribe, if you will, go into this deep level of distress. So before we talk about what's happening and where we go, I just want to give a personal shout out to everyone out there who's listening or watching. It's been by far the most devastating, sad, 4 weeks of my professional and personal life to see this happen. I do think the travel industry, the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry, and extrapolating out into the creative community, the art community, the fashion community, the design community, there's one thing that binds all those different pockets of people together, and it's the sense of creativity.
Yes.
And that sense of creativity will absolutely answer the questions that are going to be asked when we all emerge from our houses in the next, hopefully, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whenever it is. Those who are creative, and by creative, I don't mean the art, the act of making something creative, but the act of being creative in your mind and knowing how to pivot and evolve is not going to be a question of whether or not you're successful. I think it's a question of whether or not you survive. I think people that are sitting there listening to this or going through this thinking that life will be the same are going to be in for a very rude awakening. I think you have to use your creative juices to think about how the world is going to change. And I've already done several polls with some of my current or former collaborators in the restaurant and the hotel space to start to think about what does that look like. And I do think, you know, I think we've all probably seen in the news or on Instagram, you know, people put up these images of all the great inventions that were created during other huge times of pandemic and distress. So whether it was the 1918 influenza or the Black Plague or some of these periods where society was on lockdown, some of the greatest inventions in all of mankind were created then. I mean, the printing press was created during the plague, right? Just now, as we're now moving from these times of previous, some of the analog moments to this digital moment. Now, I'm an analog person. I mean, this is the first time that I've ever done IG Live. I'm trying to adapt and evolve. I think the evolution in the space of hospitality, of travel, I think is going to take really two meaningful directions. One is, how do you actually deliver moments and experiences in this new post-virus world? Mm-hmm. And then secondly, how is design, that's an operational issue, that's a marketing issue. And then secondly, design. So how does design change going forward? So is it more space between how people sit? Is it more space between how people sleep? Evolution and adoption of how people spend their time and how people, again, sort of make their decision to be a part of a company and give their wallet or give their support to that company, I think is going to be, again, the leaders and the companies who understand that, I think will win, right? Or they'll survive. And looking at how interaction works between ideas and the organizations that are already going online to figure that out. So if you look at the pivot of various art foundations and museums, if you look at how certain design companies are trying to pivot to communicate out what they're trying to do, the same thing has to happen in nightlife and hospitality and travel and our industry, which at its core, our industry is about physically connecting people and then wrapping ideas around them within a space. So how we think about doing that going forward in terms of how does our programming work? So our head of programming, Meredith Rogers, who's an amazing individual, really, I mean, world-class leader for our company in cultural programming, how she is going to think about what our programming looks like absolutely will evolve once we come back online, you know, hopefully, you know, May, June, whenever that may be. I also think we all have to think as individuals, whether you own your own business or you're running a business, we have to think about how people will feel when they interact within a space. It's going to be 100% different in terms of how people think about that interaction. And again, I think we can figure it out through a combination of design and operations and education. But I personally am scared. I mean, I'll be very honest. I can be very introverted, but I'm very extroverted. Like, I love hugging people. I love going to great bars, great restaurants, great nightclubs, great hotels. You know, I'm in love with the hotel industry. I'm in love with the members industry figuring out how to still evoke that genuine emotion with members or with customers, I think will be the greatest challenge of any brand or of any property. I mean, how do we balance that out? Because people, you can already see how people interact on the street. You know, you do, so in London, you're allowed one workout per day. That's like Boris Johnson's mandated thing. People work out, but they walk, you know, 10, 20 feet away. When they see another human being, they'll cross the street. And so people now are training themselves to be scared of other people, right? And because of the virus, like, I get that. I 100%, you know, I absolutely understand both the obligation we all have to stay away from everyone else, but it's going to be a learned pattern over the next 4 to 8 weeks. So when we all come back from this, as in the, you know, the hospitality space, like, how do we think about what that first interaction is when someone walks into a space, right? And this, it's not just for hospitality, it's everything. It's retail, it's movie theaters, it's entertainment, it's concerts, it's festivals. So, you know, this sense of figuring out how to make people feel safe from a health perspective and from an emotional perspective, I think is our great challenge, you know, as entrepreneurs and leaders.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. How to make people feel comfortable in your space, certainly in hospitality, you know, and that goes with how do you greet them? How do you, service a room if you're a hotel? How do you speak to them? How do you make people feel comfortable? What are you offering? I think that we're going to see a lot of kind of comfort food menus and menues that are good for oneself and good for the environment. And you know, maybe it's the little kick that we all needed to take better care of ourselves and of each other and of the earth.
That's a great sort of, you know, pivot in our discussion, which is now let's actually focus on some of the more idealistic and achievable, attainable things that I think comes out of this. So this virus is by every measure, I think the greatest societal and economic dislocation and disaster, certainly in the last 100 years, maybe going on in the last 400 years. However, there is a silver lining, which is that every day I wake up now in London and I don't hear planes, right? And I don't hear cars and the sky is clear. And the massive consumption that we've all, no matter what your political leaning is, no matter how altruistic you are, and, you know, I'm doing this talk with you today. And, you know, for those of you listening, I mean, Ben is a absolute leader and visionary in the space of sustainability. But no matter how much we want to have been sustainable, right, the big corporate movements would just stop us from doing that, right? But now people, I think 12 weeks into this, let's say in May or June, I think people are going to learn to live with less. We just don't need to consume as much as we are consuming. And this is a good wake-up call. We can still be happy with basic things, basic interactions with
Absolutely.
People. You know, just listening to records or music as opposed to, you know, consuming everything you can, right? So I think it's interesting, and without being too controversial, you're already seeing the seismic shift in what matters and what doesn't matter. So whether it's the cult of celebrity, which is starting to sort of die out a little bit.
So much, right? Yes.
And people are focusing more on actual ideas that matter, looking at how sustainability works. And now let's go to food. So, you know, we have at Neuhaus in Hollywood, we had just hired Chef Ann Thornton, who's a leader. She's amazing. And she's a leader in sustainability and plant-based. She cooks other proteins, but plant-based diets. In addition, in West Hollywood, you have Chef John Fraser. You know, these are leaders in their space. And I think, you know, whether it's them or someone like Dan Kluger, you know, looking at how these chefs really prepare and cook food going forward, you know, I think they will come from, you'll go from those individuals who are sort of stand out as, you know, big celebrity chefs or, you know, big names. Maybe that permeates the entire industry. Wouldn't that be amazing if, you know, it's not just for people that are going to an amazing high-end boutique lifestyle hotel or a great private members club,
right?
Let's do it to the whole world. And I think that could fundamentally change how we look at cuisine, and that would obviously completely fundamentally change the supply chain for food, which hopefully would increase our sustainable measures.
We've never experienced a time where we've had such a forced awakening. And I think that's what it is, because this has got nothing to do with money or social standing or it's everybody. It's a forced awakening. We have to consider where we travel, how we travel, what we eat, how we eat. And I think that's something good that could come out of this. Now, obviously, we have a long way to go. I think we as a business, you as a business leader, you know, anyone that has a platform or a voice, you know, we have to be real champions of all the good things moving forward.
I just think the sense of conscious capitalism, at least certainly,
right.
You know, in society we live in, you know, this it's no longer a buzzword. I think we absolutely are forced to do it, which is good. We needed a forcing mechanism, so no one seemed to really truly be listening to the global warming alarm. And I think Mother Earth has woken up and said, all right, guys, you're clearly ignoring everything that I'm trying to tell you. So let's just put it, let's turn this up to 11 and really force everyone to really look inwards. And now we're all trapped in our homes. And, you know, yeah, we all have our dark days, but I don't, you know, I hate to say it, but this is a good wake-up call in some ways. It's obviously a complete, total disaster in terms of the loss of human life. And by no means do I mean to discount that, but I think that the one good thing from this is it's a forced reckoning, as you mentioned, or awakening, where we have to do it now, and that hopefully is fast change, which is good.
So Josh, let's move on a little. Noir House just opened a beautiful new venue in downtown LA, and Venice Beach and Miami are soon to open. Is that right? I mean, this could not be a worse time for you. I mean, how do you get your head around that?
Yeah. I mean, it like literally is the worst time, you know, and there's others in my position as well, other brands, you know, or other companies who've just opened, you know, an incredible flagship property. So again, you know, my heart goes out to all these people. There's massive jobs lost. Or put on hold. You know, how do we deal with it? We just opened the Bradbury Building in downtown LA, which is this iconic, amazing structure, probably one of the most beautiful buildings in the United States. We have a huge number of initiatives that we just announced literally at the end of February, which, by the way, we debated whether or not to announce them going into the virus. Mm-hmm. And I sort of took a view that we wanted to do it. We wanted to announce it because we felt we had to get it out there. So that it could give hope to people in our company. Frankly, I announced it really for the employees because I wanted the employees to see that we're growing. And whether we, you know, we certainly will be delayed in opening Venice Beach and Miami, but we will get it open. Whether it happens end of 2020 or it slips into 2021, we are committed to doing that. And I'm committed to doing it, frankly, for the employees. Like, I think my moral obligation right now is to really two groups of people. It's my employees, my members. If I can provide jobs for people over the next 2 years, and if I can provide a safe place and an intellectually safe and interesting warm place for people to convene and meet, then I'll walk away very, very happy with our experience. But yeah, I mean, look, launching a flagship property in the middle of this it's heartbreaking. I mean, we had huge momentum. In February, we were VIP partners with Freeze LA, which was in the second year, incredible week with incredible, interesting people, dynamic artists and designers all flowing through Noir House. We were ready to do the big, you know, big launch. We were technically open at Bradbury, but the big launch in March and April, you know, and that's all put on hold. And again, my biggest sadness is just the inability for us to show and support our member community and our collaboration programming community. I mean, all, you know, we employ either directly or indirectly hundreds of artists and creatives, and people in the hospitality business, and putting that on hold, to me is totally heartbreaking.
Somebody asked an interesting question. How must brands adapt to their relationship with the media, do you think?
It's almost like being a great musician or athlete or actor. You know, some are just gifted, I think, with the ability to be great at something. And just like some companies or some brands have the innate foundational culture to be able to deal with what will change in the future vis-a-vis the virus and including media. So some people have always had a genuine voice with the media. They've always just really laid out what they stand for, why they stand for it, what they're doing, why they're doing it. And they mean what they say. It's very little spin. I think, and I really, that's how I've led Noir House, and that's what we've always been about. So I think we'll do well in this new landscape with the media. I think if you have a disingenuous or not completely authentic brand or voice, I think you'll really suffer post-virus. I think we're going into, this virus has stripped everyone back to core fundamentals and core authentic fundamentals. And so if you're authentic with the media, I think you'll be rewarded with, you know, support. And right now, I think we're all looking to support people. So if you can give the media a reason to support the brand and our members, I think we'll do okay.
The media is going to be very judgmental of those companies that don't focus on impact and purpose. So it's, I think it's really important, this idea of being environmentally conscious, being very aware of one's personal health, being, you know, ensuring that you are have an eye on or helping others far more than we've been concerned about making money. So I think that is something that the media is really going to latch onto post-corona.
Well, they're already doing it, right? I mean, if whether you want to call it authenticity or lack thereof, I think people that stand for something and whatever they stand for is good, and they mean it and they stand behind it through action, will be rewarded with trust. The people that, or the brands that simply are out there without a purposeful voice, I think, whether short-term or long-term, I think will get lambasted in the media. And again, without naming names, like you sort of see, whether it's brands or also celebrity culture, like you're seeing a lot of people make the wrong move, and it's really backfiring, in the moves that they make. So I think, you know, one of the core pillars that we have at Neuhaus, which, you know, when I came into the company about 18 months ago, we sat down and really looked through what the company meant to us as employees and as leaders. And we came up with three core values, because if you have more than three, people don't remember it. And this is, you know, legitimately what we came up with 18 months ago. And I think it will serve us very well, both in the middle of this crisis and after the crisis, which is curiosity, generosity, and authenticity. And if you have those three things, and I've added two more, at least temporarily, which is vulnerability and transparency. I think if you have those things, I think you can really survive.
Josh Montauk, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, thank you for watching. Thank you for the lovely messages. And Josh, I hope I get to see you sooner rather than later.
Sleeper 2020. A series of conversations with explorers, artists, and thinkers in the world of hospitality experience and design. This podcast is brought to you by Sleeper Media in collaboration with A Hotel Life. It features Ben Pundle, editor-in-chief of A Hotel Life, in conversation with Josh Wyatt, CEO of Neuhaus, and was originally recorded on Friday, the 3rd of April.